notes. When we last left our intrepid heroes, you
Maybe
had made
wrong.
Friends with these tiny frog people after saving some of them from being eaten by the dog people, who turned out to not be werewolves, but they kind of look like werewolves, but smaller. The frog people informed you that you needed to, the only way into the next tower that they had, other than using the front door, was across a bridge that they had, and they were more than happy to assist you in gaining access by ripping the door out with a grappling hook. As you had already murderized all the bad guy, or all of the Knoll guards. I'm sorry. Per reference, I showed my wife the notes on this tower structure, and she said, "I think that's more notes than you took your entire last campaign."
Tell your wife hi.
Will do. You murdered the Knolls. And inside you find large piles of furs over top of like straw beds. This looks like it was a dormitory sleeping room for a lot of Knolls. There is a flight of stairs up and a flight of stairs going down. What would you like to do?
Which way should we go, guys?
Up or down?
I will flip a coin.
Well, that's probably the best way to do it.
Up.
Then up we go.
Yeah, I rolled a natural 20, so I assume that's up. That is going to be the only natural 20 I have to.
I was just going to say, you wasted the 20.
Yippers. That's what I do.
As you guys wander up the flight of stairs, I would like you all to roll me perception.
Okay. I think Nyssa would go first yet, too, because she can fly. I rolled a natural 1 on perception.
They're beautiful stairs.
I rolled a 7.
What's our marching order right now?
Good question. For you guys to figure out.
Jessica will not be in the front. Nor does she really want to be in. Neither does she want to really be in the very back either. So it's probably the third, I would think. Is her sweet spot.
I'll pull in behind the fairy.
Oh, that's good. I got some muscle right behind me.
So that would mean Nilrem is bringing up the rear.
Yes, absolutely.
Perfect.
Nilrem likes the rear. Ha ha.
It's my favorite.
I got a 12, so Jessica has a 12.
All right, you head up the stairs. The old stone that you move across, you can tell this place is old. The stairs themselves have actually worn a little bit, and the stone edges are rounded, and you see claw marks from these beasts going up and down the stairs. As you come up to...
Quick question.
Yes?
Could I roll a knowledge nature on the claws to see what made these things, if it's our Knoll friends?
You don't need to roll on that. It is the Knoll friends. They're not, like, deeply ingrained. They're small scratch marks that are all over the place.
Gotcha.
As you come up on the next level, you kind of peek your head up over the ledge, Nyssa. And you see a pedestal in the very center of the room that is turned. Oh, camera. that is turned to point diagonally into the center of the four towers. With a bridge crossing out into the center.
Well, I think we found our bridge, but there's a pedestal here. I don't know what it does.
Let's investigate.
K2, what was your perception again?
16.
16. As Nyssa goes up and pokes her head up, you see the gnoll behind the stairs ready its attack. Make an attack.
That's going to be an 18.
Okay, roll your damage. That definitely hits.
7.
All right. Nyssa, you suddenly hear a thud from behind you, and you turn back to see that K2 has attacked one of the gnolls that was preparing itself behind you. What do you do?
Oh my goodness, I'm so glad you were here. Can I make an attack?
Yeah, sure.
Awesome. I am just going to Thorn Whip. Well, that's a 9 to hit.
I need that dice. Unfortunately misses as you lash out at the wall.
Huh.
Milrim, you see them swinging upwards at this creature. It would have about half cover, but you could make a ranged attack at him if you wanted to.
Are my people in the way within a 15-foot cone?
Yeah. You're in a stairwell right now.
Okay, I'm gonna change my mind on that. Here we go. Okay. I'll cast Chromatic Orb. Is that cool?
Sure. Roll your.
Do we know? I wasn't here last session. Did we find out any? Do they have any weaknesses or anything? Because I guess I get to choose a elemental here.
I don't know if we did.
So what is their weakness?
They're covered in fur. They look like hyenas and people had a baby.
So acid or fire, I'm thinking. Let's go with fire, yeah. All right, I'll use a fire chromatic orb. So with this one, you do a... I think you'd make a save, eh? Or sorry, whatever it's called. No, never mind. I have to roll the hit.
Yeah.
So what do I... Sorry, this is a newbie question here. What do I get for... To hit my... Do I have a modifier?
Plus proficiency, plus spell casting modifier.
So that would be 6?
That sounds about right.
Okay, so I got 18 to hit.
That manages to hit him despite having partial cover. Roll your damage.
Okay, so it's 3d8.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's awesome.
You roll that and add it up. Jessica, you can't really...
It's be 14. The person
you're shooting at. 14.
But I can't see what everyone like what everyone's shooting at and stuff like that?
No, wait, yes, you can. As the chromatic orb slams into... As K2's hammer is being pulled back, the thorn whip is lashed forward and he ducks out of the way and it lowers his face just enough for you to see its gaping maw before the fireball hits it in the face and causes it to go flying across the room.
Nice.
Well, it seems to solve the problem, so I guess I don't need to shoot it. Saving that arrow for later.
Well, that worked good.
These guys are weak. I don't need to use this. I could start using cantrips instead, eh?
I mean, you could.
So is it just because it's dark in here that I can't see anything?
No, it was just because of the angle on the spiral staircase.
Okay. How dark is it, by the way? Is it like
at this point, this level is actually the most illuminated of three, as it has like large open windows that go straight outside, as well as an opening to a bridge that seems to connect diagonally across to another structure on the far side, with another strange pedestal in the middle.
I wonder if we have to align these all a certain way.
The bridge is made out of stone, and you do see that there were bridges branching out to the other two towers at one point in time. However, gravity has rearranged their location. So from here you can go back down, or you can go across the bridge. What would you like to do? Or option three, which is whatever.
While I'm always a fan of option three, I vote we take the bridge across.
Bridge, but I'm going to go last.
I'll go first.
I think our current marching order across the bridge, if we're going to do that, that'd be fine.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Alrighty, you guys continue in your marching order as you move out across the... It's about a 10-foot wide stone bridge. You're careful as you're going, as the guardrails have mostly crumbled away with time. And as you reach the center, there is this strange purplish crystal sitting there, and it's got four empty slots that seem to be the same shape as the crystal that was given to you by the frog chief.
Are you breaking out, or is that just me?
I can hear fine.
I'm going to disconnect and reconnect. How about now?
I hear you.
Yeah, I hear you. You weren't breaking up on our end, I don't think.
I think it's my shitty internet. Apologies. Mm-hmm.
It's windy as shit out here, so I'm quite... lucky that mine's even working.
Yeah. Rural sucks sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
All right, as you pass by the crystal in the very center, and you look down over the empty courtyard, it's overgrown, kind of swampy down there, and you keep moving across the bridge... roll me your perceptions.
Okay, I got a new dice this time. 8.
10.
21.
Oh, good.
Nice.
Andy, what did you get?
16.
Awesome. So luckily, two of you see... As you look down the narrow bridge into the opening on the far tower, you see that there are indeed gnolls in there. One of them, you can see this large mound of furs that this one particular gnoll is sitting on. And there are two obviously female gnolls slaying on the same pile.
All right, who got the 16?
That was K2.
Me.
K2? All right. So you see that, K2? can you put fire on my arrow somehow? Can anyone put fire on my arrow somehow?
I can do create bonfire beside you, and you can just keep lighting your arrows up.
I need something that'll light something else when it hits it. There's a guy down there. He's sitting on a whole pile of furs, and last I checked, furs are quite flammable.
Oh. Yeah, my fairy fire is not going to help there.
I think
that's all I could do is do that.
If I had to guess, he looks like a leader type. So I think it'd be hilarious if we just light the furs on fire underneath him, because I don't think he knows we're here.
Can I cast Create Bonfire on, like, a big arrow, and then you can just, like, shoot it towards him?
How far is this guy away from us? Can't you do the bonfire at him?
Quite possibly.
Yeah, I have, what's the range, 60 feet. Oh, yeah, maybe.
That would catch the edge of it. It wouldn't catch him directly, but he appears to be sleeping mid-afternoon.
Can I just move quietly until I'm in range and then fire?
You could. You'd have to roll me stealth, though.
All right.
Do it.
Oh, was I good. With my modifiers, I got a 4.
Oh, boy.
As you move yourself closer, humming this tune a bard once told you about a famous spy from far away.
Can Nissa jump in with something?
With that kind of a sneak, why not?
I mean, I've only got... Oh, shoot. No, I'm too far away. I've only got 30-foot range for that.
Oh, no, I wasn't saying that. You move yourself up close so that you can get him directly. And as you're casting your spell, you see another gnoll look out, having heard something, and snarl at you as your spell goes off underneath him. He needs to make a dex save at disadvantage because he's sleeping. That's a nat 1.
Ooh.
It's 1d8. And I got a 4.
So that'll be 12 because you critted on that. So well done. You light him and the furs on fire. However, there is a guard that was in the room that has now stepped out. Roll for initiative.
Nine.
Six. I'm doing quite poorly. I'm swapping
dice
again.
Yeah, I haven't hit double digits yet, man. What's going on?
God, what the hell? All right, I gotta keep using this dice roller thing on D&D Beyond, because I got a 22.
Nice.
Yeah, that's huge.
I never roll this well. It scares me.
So it's like digital dice?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And you can't even, I don't think you can mess with it, so.
I'm going to find a hack.
I played with somebody who did that. They had a digital dice roller, and they actually changed it so that it wouldn't roll anything lower than, I think, 12.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
That's what I always think when it comes to digital, is there's always a way to cheat.
Always a way to cheat, yeah.
Yeah.
The black dot is the pile of furs. You are down here. And I'm sorry, what did you guys get for initiative again?
14.
Six.
Yes, we got a 22.
What are we rolling?
Initiative. This is the same initiative we just rolled. So I'll just reiterate.
Yep.
Oh, okay. What did I get, guys?
I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
31. That's what you got. You got a 31. I distinctly remember you saying 31.
It was under 10. I know that.
I think it was a 9.
Let's call it 9.
Yeah.
Because it was right close. I know that.
And Cam, what did you get?
22. I rolled a 19.
Well, that will definitely start us with you.
Okay, so the guard guy came out, and then it was combat. Did he do anything to us? Did he take a shot at us or anything like that?
Not yet. You have effectively jumped the gun on them. They were not expecting someone to come in from the fourth floor.
Okay, what's he wielding and looking like? What kind of armor is he wearing? Is it shiny and metal or leathery?
It's more like chunks of hide and fur. These people don't look super civilized. Their equipment doesn't match from one guy to the next, so it's probably what they scavenge.
Cool. What kind of weapon does he have on him, if any, that I can tell?
He looks like he has some sort of a curved short sword with a chip in the blade.
Okay. Ooh, fine. I can see the chip in the blade from here. That's pretty good. Pretty good eyesight.
It's like a half an inch chip in the blade.
Oh, it's a gouge.
Yeah.
I am going to call him the Gouger. All right, I'm going to take a shot. I'm just going to shoot him with my bow. From here. Okay, how the hell do I do that? Where are you? Actions. Short bow. Attack. Excellent. Oh my god, are you kidding me? 23? To hit? If that hits, that is 7 damage.
That definitely hits. It's 23. With these guys, if you roll over 20, you hit. They're not that good.
Yeah. Oh my goodness gracious. I am so gonna die this session.
Why?
I'm rolling too well.
Nah. Right. I'll never kill you for rolling too well. You're having a good day. I'll accidentally kill you when you have a bad day.
Ooh, it scares me when I roll well. I don't like it. Anyway, so that's my turn. I don't really have any bonus actions. We're not moving anywhere because I think we're... Unless we're running. That's cool. I'm going to say that. Are we going to run?
That's
my whole thing.
All right, so that is your
scene.
Next up would be... Normally would be their turn, but you've got the jump on them because you lit their house on fire. So, K2.
Natural one.
On what?
On an attack. I was going to attack the first person in front of me.
There's like 40 feet between you and them.
Oh, damn. Well.
You could ready an action for when they get close enough to you.
Oh, I'm going to charge as far forward as I can get.
Without dashing? It's now 15 feet between you and him. Anything else, Kate?
I'll just hold right there until they get closer.
Alrighty, holding your action to smack him in the face. Sounds good. Nilrim, that would be you next.
Okay, so that fire's going on them?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's still actively in the fire, so on his turn... Wait, he had a turn, so he's gonna take another D8 worth of damage, I'm sorry.
Do you want me to roll it?
No, he makes a save, I think.
Yeah, and then the damage was 1d8.
Yeah, I rolled the damage, because he got 7.
5.
Nice.
For my turn, can I sneak in front, just in front of, what's his name there, K2? And then cast Burning Hands and fill that room with a cone of fire and hit everybody in there, I'm thinking, eh? Like maybe even closer, just close before he gets an opportunity attack. And then I want to spray that cone of fire in there.
At this point, that's as close as you could get, and 15 feet would just get you to the door.
So if I fired the cone, it would only get to the door. So that's not a good... Not a good strategy there, Nilrim. Okay, then. Let's go back to where I was, and then I've never tried this one out. Let's catch magic missile on them, on the guy at the door there, the front one.
Okay, the guy just standing there in the front? Awesome.
Yeah.
Roll And you're launching all three missiles at him?
That's right.
Roll me 3d4 plus 3. Force damage.
3d4 plus 3k.
Yep. Magic Here missile doesn't miss.
I got... Oh, that's a good roll. 7, 10, 13.
So 13 plus 3 is 16.
No, I already added the 3.
Okay. 13. Ooh, he is... Like, those... You watch those hit him, and you're pretty sure you hear bones snapping.
Nice.
And what would you like to do?
Okay. I was trying to count. How far away am I from the guy at front? I got 30 feet of flying movement.
Oh, 30 feet. 30. That would put you just in front of K2.
Okay. I will be right there in front. And then I am going to cast Entangle on... Well, actually, I could have done that from back there, but that's okay. I'm going to cast Entangle on the ground right in the middle of all of them.
How big is Entangle?
20-foot square. The plants turn the ground into difficult terrain. Any creature in the area when you cast the spell must succeed on a strength save or be restrained until the spell ends.
What's the DC?
14.
One of them makes it. His Majesty in the fire manages to make his save. Everybody else, not so much, and the fire is rapidly spreading.
Okay, so the fire will probably burn out my entanglement before it even expires. But that's okay.
Or add fuel to the fire, you know, whichever.
You know.
All right, anything else?
Nope.
Okay, Jess.
Is that first guy that I shot still standing?
But he's looking really messed up.
Okay, so...
Hit the guy that's stuck in the weeds. He can't move.
Yeah.
That is me in-game telling you that you have advantage against rolls against the dude that's entangled.
How many dudes are there down there?
There are 4 in there and 1 out here.
Okay. I'll take my party member's advice and shoot the one that she pointed at. If that's cool.
All right. You fire your arrow and lob it into the flames.
Okay. Is it with advantage, normal, or disadvantage?
It's with advantage. They are panicked, entangled, and standing on a pile that is rapidly lighting up in smoke.
Cool. With advantage. That is a 19 to hit, if that hits, for a grand total of 6 damage.
Hey, 6 damage is 6 damage.
I'm so glad I'm not the only one that sees damage like that.
You should hear me say Menace from Magic the Gathering. It's a keyword. Call it Menace.
That's awesome.
Menace. Cam, you're a fantastic person.
I do try. Anyways, I'll ask the party again. Are we just going to stay here and keep pelting them, or are we going to move on?
Let's fight.
Yeah, let's fight. Okay.
Done and done. That is the end of my turn.
All right. N.
Ooh. Me again?
Wait. Because Nilrum just had a turn. No, wait. That wasn't Nilrum's turn. You just went. Then Jess. Right, Jess. Sorry. My brain went.
I just went.
Yes, you did. Yes, you indeedly diddly do.
I think that puts this guy K2. Oh, you're bad guys.
This guy. Yeah. desperately looking back and forth, not sure which way to go. We'll get back to him. Strength saves. Hooray, this guy gets himself up. And he is going to try and make a shove on K2. K2, I would like you to make me a strength save.
Saving throw?
Yes, saving throw, sorry.
15.
As he starts pushing you back, you dig your heels in and thrust backwards. I would like you to make me an opportunity attack. And you're using your hammer, correct?
Yes.
On a 10-foot bridge. Sounds good. Aim high.
That's going to be a 15.
That is enough to hit him. Roll for damage.
Six points of damage.
All right, you smack him so hard that he spins around. Doesn't quite fall, unfortunately. And now it's the rest of the bad guys' turns. Those two need to make strength saves. One of them makes it. Still difficult terrain. That one can't move. He can move. John, I need one more D8 of damage out of you as he is moving out of the fire.
Okay. It's 5.
Another 5. The leader seems to be retreating. The leader seems to be retreating, and the other one is still pinned down. K2, it is your turn now.
Going to continue to push that guy that's right beside me.
All right. Give him a push.
17?
17 will hit. I'm going to get him to make a strength save. Cock die. 21 to save. He manages to hold himself. However, you do still cross-check him in the face with your weapon, so roll me damage.
9 points of bludgeoning damage.
Holy shit.
Rolled an 8 on a D8.
They are still alive, however, they are missing more teeth than they still have. Nilrim in the back. This guy is presently engaging K2 and is perfectly in your line of sight for a spell if you wanted. John?
Sorry, yeah. So I guess I'll just do a cantrip. I'm going to save my... how close is our friend there to that front guy? Is he within 5 feet?
No, there's about a 10-foot gap there.
Okay, I'll cast Acid Splash on that guy then.
Oh, you mean you're talking about these two? There's 5 feet between these two, but about 10 feet between these two.
Oh, I'll do the first ones you pointed to.
All right, you lob it in towards the door. Roll your attack.
Thirteen.
Unfortunately, you trying to lob over top of K2 and the guy he's fighting, you splash on the wall and the acid burns down, cleaning the stone beautifully. And there's a guy right beside you trying to that K2 is trying to push off, as well as two more that are coming out the door.
Alright, that one that's that K2 is pushing on, I am just going to Primal Savagery Claw's face. Hopefully. 17 to hit.
Oh, that'll hit, yes.
Yay! 4 points of acid damage.
Alright, you claw at his face, pulling chunks of fur out and getting to the flesh underneath and just trying to wear away at it. Jess, we're back up at the top with you.
All right, so I assume that I'm in that middle bit right there, right?
You are over here.
Oh, I thought I was in that middle bit. Oh, perfect. I'm not anywhere near the melee. Excellent. So the only guy I could probably shoot without having some form of disadvantage would be this one guy right dead center of the screen, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's the guy I'm going to shoot then. No advantage or anything like that, I assume?
No.
Okay. 16 to hit. If that hits, it is 4 points of damage.
That is enough to pierce him through the heart.
Sweet. That's pretty slick.
Falls over dead.
I don't think I need to move anywhere. I have no bonus action spells. We're still pretty solid as far as hit points and stuff. I don't think anyone's taking any massive damage. So we're good. End of turn.
How do you tell if your spells can be cast as a bonus action or not?
Because at the top it'll say action or bonus action.
Yeah. If you have access to healing spells, look up Healing Word. That's a bonus action spell.
Okay.
And it'll say somewhere in there that you cast it as a bonus action. It's usually with your casting time. That's what it is. First thing you'll see underneath the thing. Like Comprehend Languages, for example, is a one action casting time. So you couldn't cast it and attack because attack is an action.
I see.
Mm-hmm. Also, if you're casting spells, if you can cast a bonus action cantrip, you cannot do that, I think, if you cast a first level spell, if I'm not mistaken. There's a funny weirdness there.
So
like
I can't cast a first level spell and then cast a cantrip as a bonus action, even if
you can't. Even if the actions are allowed. If I'm not mistaken, I could be, but I don't think so.
Rules as written, you are correct, Cam. However, yeah. I hold the philosophy that if you want to blow all your spells in one go, that's on you, buddy.
Well, cantrips never run out, right? So you have infinite cantrips. And I think that's just for action economy balancing is the reason they did that. But if you want to let us do it, I'm cool with that.
Sorry, the way I look at it is if you want to blow multiple leveled spells, like say you cast Healing Word as your bonus action and you want to cast Magic Missile as your action, you go for it, man. That's two first level spell slots you don't have later.
I don't even have a bonus action cantrip. Maybe I'll work on that.
What class are you again?
Wizard.
Wizard? You want a really good one to have is Firebolt.
Firebolt, okay.
Firebolt is an amazing cantrip for a wizard because you have something you could deal damage to the enemy all the time. And as you level up, it gets a little bit better too. So look into that one. That one's a really good cantrip to have.
Next time I can get one, I'll pick it up. Is it a bonus action though?
No, it's an action, but it's an infinite action. It's a spell attack that you can do. You can also use it to light things, like torches and stuff like that, on walls from a distance.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, but I really need a bonus action cantrip if I'm going to be casting the two at the same time. That'd be cool.
Yeah, I'm not sure what they have for wizards. But anyways, neither here nor there. We're in the middle of combat. So.
Yeah, sorry, my bad.
And yeah, on cantrips, we'll talk about that another time. I don't want to get into it right now.
Hey,
does an 18 hit you?
Which?
18.
Oh, definitely.
You take 5 slashing damage, and then I would, as the other one tries to lunge towards you, I would like you to make me a another strength save. As he runs towards you, you use his own momentum against him and grab him by the back of the shirt and just throw him off the edge. You rolled a nat 1.
Perfect.
He got to experience flying for a moment.
Again, gravity claims another poor life.
John, roll me one more D8. Somebody's still trapped in the fire zone.
All right. Ooh, I got a 6.
Roll to save in the fire zone.
The highest they've rolled is a 13. Pretty sure your spell save DC is higher than that. What is your DC?
Mine is not. Mine. My spell save DC.
Yeah,
yes, what's it your spell? Is 14. 14.
Yeah, I thought so. The bad guys are doing that. K2, you turn after sending somebody on a little trip, and there is still one more standing in front of you.
Gonna double fist my hammer this time and lob him.
Alrighty, make your attack.
23 to hit.
Yes, that certainly hits.
For 11 points of damage.
Jesus Christ. You strike him so hard in the side of the neck that you feel the vertebrae separate and snap apart. And the only reason the head remains attached to the body is because you are using a blunt weapon. Him also dead. I did not expect you guys to use the bridge to your advantage or try and sneak up on them, so. Alrighty. That clears that up. There's one person you can still see trapped in the flames, and then the one you identified as the leader has fled the scene.
Don't let him get away!
Do we see which way he went?
He went down a flight of stairs in the back of the room.
Should we follow?
Yes. Yes, we should.
If I was a betting person, I'd say he's probably got one of those little thingies we need.
Probably.
Let's follow for the little thingy.
All right, I'm running full force after him.
MacGuffin. Get after the MacGuffin. Right.
Roll me athletics.
Six.
He got a 1. So despite tripping over the vines and jumping through flames, you somehow managed to catch up to him up on the stairs. Roll me one more athletics.
22, better.
Beating his 18, as you lunge yourself down the stairs at him, slamming into him, I would like you to make me a perception check.
Ken.
Alrighty, you don't see anything as you fall to the ground, but as just before his face slams into the floor, you see him twist as though he hit something momentarily and then slam into the floor. I need you to make me a dex save, please.
Twenty
is successful as you roll into the room. As you roll into the room, that you look around and it's full of skulls. As you hear a bang, you turn back around to see a brick from the ceiling. A pile of bricks from the ceiling has fallen on your target. He is presently pinned to the ground, but not dead. What's the marching order of the rest of you as you go down to say, to help him?
Oh, I'm going as quick as I can.
I'm going to go as fast as Nilrim.
I'm going to play my safe distance, but follow.
All right, I'll be right on K2's butt.
All right, so you see the stones fall and land on the target, but he's not dead. What do you do?
I look at K2. So, do I kill him, or do you have questions?
Questions would be good.
Oh, okay. Let's ask him questions then. And she just goes right up near his face and lets her fingernails get longer with her primal savagery, but she doesn't actually strike at him. She just has these really gross long fingernails right in his face. I think you should ask him now, because if he doesn't answer, I'm just going to scratch him.
From up the stairs, you suddenly hear a clatter. Jess, from behind you, the gnoll that you left upstairs to burn has launched herself at you. Does an 11 hit you?
That was to me?
Yes.
No, 11 does not. A 13 would do it, but not an 11.
Well, unfortunate for them. As you are being assailed by this thing, both you and Nilrim turn around to face it. What do you both do?
I guess I'm going to back up to a safe distance and cast create bonfire on him, I guess.
There's no such thing as a safe distance under these circumstances. It is right behind you.
Fair enough. Then, oh shit, eh? So I can use my last spell, I guess.
I mean, you could create bonfire just 5 feet in front of you.
We won't get affected by it, though?
No.
Okay, well, let's do that.
Alrighty, it makes a dex save. 7.
Okay, so we'll D8 then?
Yep.
That's a 4.
Takes 4 points of fire damage. And Jess, as the fire springs up at his feet, what are you doing?
I pull out my dagger, stab him, and try to move back afterwards if I can.
All right, make your attack.
That is a 13 to hit. If that hits, that is...
That will not hit.
That is 6 damage if it hits, but it does not, so... Okay. Do I still have enough to move back out of the way of the flaming bad guy?
I mean, you were never standing in the flame, but if you move back, you would be incurring an opportunity attack.
I guess I'll stay there. Homie doesn't want to be attacked, opportunity-like.
All right, it now takes a swing at Nilrim as it tries to leap backwards. Does a 14 hit you, Nilrim?
My AC is 14.
So yes.
Boo.
You take 4 points of slashing damage as its claws rake across your shoulder.
Alright.
Now you two, as it steps back out of the flames 5 feet away, what do you two do?
It stepped back. Does that mean it incurs an attack of opportunity for me?
It absolutely does.
I am going to take that attack of opportunity.
Actually, it would incur one from both of you.
Okay.
So that is an 18 to hit. If that hits, that is 5 points of piercing damage.
All right, and John, what do you got in your melee weapon? Do you have anything? Well,
yeah, you know what? I got these 3 pebbles that Nisa enchanted that do 1d6 plus 4 damage, and I get a plus 6 to hit.
I mean, it's not a spell, technically.
Yeah, so I'm going to throw one of those pebbles at it, I guess.
Sure, if you can use a damn sling for an attack, you can use that thing.
Okay. And that puts, plus 6 to hit is a 24 to hit.
Fuck. Alrighty, and how much damage does that do?
1d6 plus 4, and I rolled a 5, so 9.
As the dagger pulls out of him and he stumbles backwards, trying to keep an eye on the knife, you just pull out a stone and just lick it at him, and it catches him in the chest and goes bang and throws him backwards, and he don't get back up. Back downstairs, you hear this brief kerfuffle that in a matter of seconds goes quiet.
Hey, well, I'm going to take a quick second to turn to Nilrim and go for a high five.
I return the high five.
Yeah.
Go Team Caster.
Yeah.
So back downstairs, what are the two of you doing? You've got Mr. pinned to the ground in a room of what looks like it's just full of skulls.
Interrogation.
Yeah, except first.
Forgetting the skulls at this particular moment, we'll address that later. Do you know, we're looking for an orb, right?
It's like a little crystal thing. You have one on your in your party somewhere.
Who's holding it?
Probably that is good. Not. Just because I'm tiny.
My character is kind of a klepto, so maybe she's holding it.
All right.
She likes to hold things.
You don't say.
Well, I'm going to say we're looking for a crystal. Generally describe what it is I'm looking for. And do you have one?
Kind of growls at you as you ask him the question, but you see that he's comprehending what you're saying.
Okay, I'm going to take the stock of my hammer. I'm just going to push it right up against the larynx of his throat and push a little bit harder than I need to and ask the question again.
He starts to try and sit up and kick off the bricks that are underneath him, trying to yelp out loudly in this guttural bark.
Is he in a good enough position where I could step on one of his legs?
I mean, make me a strength check and you can try. A 15 will pin his leg, causing him to shout out in more pain.
I really don't want to do this, but where is the crystal?
From behind you, you hear other voices coming up the flight of stairs from the lower level.
Is there a door?
There is a staircase in the floor.
Is there anything in the room I could throw down that flight of stairs?
It's full of skulls ranging from small frogs to large swamp beasts.
Okay, I'm just going to start hucking things down the stairs, and I'm going to turn to N and be like, keep questioning him.
As the other two of you have now come down the stairs, you come down just in time to see K2 pick up this, like, 2 foot across skull and just hock it down the stairs. You hear it shatter and a yelp of pain come from down below. What do the two of you do?
Do we recognize that the guy who's pinned currently is the boss guy?
Yes, he's not super pinned at the moment because K2 is throwing things down the stairs.
All right, is he pinned enough that I could search him?
He's still partially under the bricks, but his hands and feet are free.
Oh.
Finish him off, we have bigger problems.
Alright, I'd be like, Nissa, just kill him. I'll just search his body. It's probably on there somewhere. So then I go start searching his body.
Yeah, I mean, Nissa will just claw him.
Make your attack.
Woohoo!
With advantage, he's prone. And you're on the ground.
Well, I rolled a natural 20.
Oh, God. He's just dead. Straight up just dead.
How many dice is that?
Well, it's 1d10 normally.
So 2d10. So, unless you have like a times 3 or times 4.
Do you want me to double it or roll twice?
No. Max plus roll.
Oh, okay. 15 acid.
Jesus Christ.
That would drop me instantly.
Me too.
You just rip out a chunk of his jugular and you see the blood draining out. You're like, my work here is done.
I'm like, I did what I was told.
Alright, what action, what skill is it to search the body? Is it just straight dexterity? Or is it like a sleight of hand? Or is it investigation? Insight, maybe?
Investigation to go over his body. As Katie picks up another skull and hurls it down the stairs.
Okay, I will search his body. That is a 12. Average of the averageness.
Average of the averageness. We will get back to what you find on his persons. Nissa and Nilrim, Nissa, I know what you did. Nilrim, what are you doing as all of this is going on?
I guess I'm just following them around, and is there a guy that needs to be attacked still?
K2 is throwing K2 Your party is standing around starting to search a body of somebody. What would you like to do?
I am going to continue to huck things down there until they find something of use, or we decide to get the hell out of here.
Alrighty, so as you're searching the body, you do indeed find not one, but two of these things in a belt pouch around his waist.
Excellent. Okay, so now we have three. No, rather, I have three.
Are we going to have a problem?
Possibly. Probably not. These things probably aren't very valuable, so aside from our current mission. One of the key things, this is out of game, one of the key things to remember about playing a morally questionable character is you never screw over the party. Screw over everyone else except the party.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as far as party mechanics is concerned, no, it won't be a problem out of game, but
has there ever been a campaign where a party's been split and they
like split up like two people go one way, two people go the other way?
Yeah, and they get because they one person screwed the other one over or something.
Yeah, that usually dissolves into a lot of infighting and then breaking up with the group. It's a bad idea. It's always a bad idea. So
makes sense.
Anyways, so I'm going to holler out. It says, I found two of these crystals in a pouch. I'm going to give the body another once over just to make sure I didn't miss something. So, is it okay if I make another once over, Caleb?
Sure. Make another once over. You've searched his belt pouch rather thoroughly, and most of the things are not. Otherwise, they're like little bits of bone and a bone necklace.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, these things are kind of important. I don't think we get another chance to look him over, so I just want to make sure I didn't miss anything. So, not that it'll matter because I rolled a four. Back to rolling normal. All right.
So you don't find anything super super interesting on him. His clothes are mismatched and probably not very valuable, and you'd have to wash them an obscene amount of times to find someone that would want them.
That was mostly just to eat up time, because she's just being thorough. So,
that's fair. That is fair. K2 is presently holding them off at the staircase. What would the rest of you like? What would you like to do as a party?
Nissa will go enchant some skulls so that when he throws them, they make a big boom.
Can you start like enchanting everything he's throwing?
Yeah.
K2, make me an attack with one of the enchanted skulls.
It's a plus six to hit.
That'll be a 20.
Alrighty, roll me damage on that.
1d6 plus 4.
6.
Awesome. Do that twice more as you've got three of them. Yeah, 15 hits. 15 is their AC.
That's going to be a 7 for that one. And another 20.
That'll hit.
For 4 on that one.
Combined with your other skulls that you've pelted down at him, you do manage to kill the first one trying to come up the stairs.
Woo-hoo. So what are we doing, guys? Are we going down or are we running back up?
I mean, this seems to be working. Let's all start throwing shit down there.
I'll just keep enchanting skulls.
Is that cantrip?
Yes.
Oh,
and it's a bonus action.
Yes. Welcome to the annoyance of cantrips that are infinite. Magic for everyone.
I'll just sit there and enchant skulls.
And then we'll hurl him down the stairs until everyone's dead.
It makes the most sense. I'll be totally honest with you. You guys are presently hucking the skulls that are now hurting a hell of a lot more than they were a moment ago. Everybody make me an attack with a +6 to hit.
21.
9.
Is that a strength-based attack or a dex-based attack?
It's a +6. +6.
Just natural a +1. Aw. That is 13.
Your first round of attacks, one of you manages to hit. K2, you blow one up at your feet. And do it again.
Woohoo! Ooh, I got an 18 that time.
16.
16.
Alrighty, all three of those managed to hit. And as you, as they realize they're not in a position to try and fight you, they start falling back.
Nice. Shall we continue going up?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we should follow them.
You want to follow them and finish them off, or now that they're running away, go up? Because if they come up again, we'll just do the same thing.
Follow them, finish them off, because the leader was headed down this way, so who knows, maybe there is something else good down here.
Okay, I'm in. You convinced me.
I go where the meat shields are.
Sounds good. Forward.
I hide behind everyone after hearing that.
Yes. No offense to our meat shields. incidentally, K2, are you injured?
Only 5 points, but I'm a paladin, so I'll be fine.
Okay.
As you start going down the stairs, your nostrils are assaulted by the smells of rotten meat and stale blood.
That's my jam.
Round the corner, coming down the spiral staircase to what appears to be the Knoll Food Hall, with half-eaten carcasses littering the floor, bones that have been picked clean, and it looks like things are sometimes brought in here still alive and eaten. The front door is wide open, and they have fled to the outside. I would like everybody to make me an investigation check.
And a fortitude.
Gross.
Gross. Straight up. 10.
6.
15.
4.
Nilrim, with your 15, you, as you're walking across the floor, the stone floor, you step on one spot, and instead of the thud, you hear a clang as you look down, and one of the squares in the floor is made out of metal, and there's a lock on the side of it.
Ooh. I'm going to investigate that lock and try and... What can I do to open it? Can I pre-digitation a key?
A key that would fit it would be difficult.
Prestidigitation doesn't work that way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It doesn't actually create anything.
Well, then I notice is the lock can't be opened, obviously. So I refer this information to the party and ask if anyone can get this shit open.
Well, I could try to unlock it or we could just smash it.
Let's try picking it first. Is anyone good at that?
Yes.
Go for it, bro. All
right, so these tools. That's, do you just roll like a dexterity with thieves' tools and proficiency, or is it like a sleight of hand?
Dexterity plus dexterity and then proficiency with thieves' tools.
Okay. Oh, great. That would be a 6.
As you're examining the lock, you give it an initial, you know, once over and give it a few just basic tricks to see if it'll pop open. But this is definitely a more elaborate lock than your standard shopkeep.
Okay, then I'll just, I'll call. Hey, K2, come on over here for a second, will you?
I wander on over and I smash the door.
Just hit it.
Alrighty, roll me a strength check.
Only a 10.
The door seems unyielding, but your target hasn't moved. Would you like to try again?
Absolutely, I will not be defeated by a lock. Better, 18?
18. With your renewed vigor, it's the first time you hit it and it doesn't crack open. You refocus, now angry that you will not be defeated by this old piece of tin. And you wind up and connect with it with a loud crack. And the casing on the lock is uncovered. It doesn't crack the lock off, but the casing now uncovered allows Jess to come in and just flick a switch and it unlocks.
Yeah, honestly, I think anybody in the party could have unlocked it at that point.
Yeah, I know. You could have blown on it the wrong way and it would have unlocked at that point.
Yeah, cut a good fart, it's unlocking.
Yeah, pretty much. So you peel open the gate or the hatch in the floor, which is the hinges still work fine. It's the dried blood in the gaps that's a real problem. But you crack it open and there's a ladder leading down.
Ew. That's in game. Ew. Is it dark? Peering down.
It is the dark.
Okay, who's going first?
I'm last.
Oh man, this almost always ends up being me when there's a dark hole.
Hole up. Are you carrying anything, Nissa?
A needle that serves as a dagger and a couple darts.
Perfect. I cast light on the needle. There you go. You now have a light up needle. Welcome right. to Torch Needle. I don't want to be the first one in there with the light. Light is a beacon.
Fair. I will position myself carefully so that I'm not touching any walls and go in.
All right, you float your way down. It's probably a 12-foot drop to the next level. And it's a narrow, winding hallway that almost looks like it would have been at one point a very defensible series of hallways, but eventually it reaches another point where it goes straight up a ladder.
So I will scurry back to where I can holler up at my party members and just be like, it doesn't really go anywhere except to a vertical tunnel with a ladder. You want to come down? There's no bugs in this one, at least, that I can see. Caleb, do I need to roll perception for bugs?
Are you looking for, like, massive dangerous bugs, or just, like, regular bugs?
Massive dangerous bugs, like the last time I went in a hole.
No, there are no massive dangerous bugs that you noticed. I mean, maybe the occasional beetle or something skittering around in the dark corner, but...
Okay.
Nothing that can eat us.
No.
Well, if they can't eat the tiny fairy, then they're definitely not going to be able to eat the larger people.
Hopefully not. Or... And
depends. Tapeworms have no interest in a fairy. They're not big enough.
True. Or you guys, I'll point out the direction of where the vertical tunnel is, And I'll be like, down that way, somewhere that way. That's where the vertical tunnel comes back up. I mean, I can just go and see where it comes up, and maybe you guys can meet me there?
Okay. Yeah, I say we all just go down in the hole and climb up the tunnel. Or climb the ladder on the other side.
Nissa is visibly relieved that there will be someone coming with her. She really did not want to do this by herself.
No. There might be something you can't, like, maybe you can't push the other side up. Yeah, hell, there might even be a lock on the other side.
So the party descends down, and once you get past the rim of the ladder, it's fine. There's no more blood on the ladder going down. And as you make your way through the underground passage, you come up to the next ladder, and you start working your way up. Who is going first up the ladder?
I will, because I've got the light.
I'll follow.
I'm third.
All right. So, luckily K2 is with you, because there is a handle on the hatch that, as you try and pull it, doesn't want to budge. But K2 wraps his large hands around it, gives it a good yank, and with a screech of rusted metal, it pops open, and you slowly open the top to peer out. And the sounds of music fill the air as these bluish figures in fancy like gowns and suits with masks on their faces are dancing. But as you look at the people, you can see through them.
Have they seen us?
No.
Just going to slowly close the hatch and be like, all right, either we have translucent blue people or ghosts.
Oh.
Why not both?
But I hear music. It's a party. I want to go dance.
Ghost Smurfs. They'll think we're Gargamel.
Ghost Smurfs.
Scariest.
Nissa, can we dress you up as a blonde?
Everyone likes Smurfette.
Exactly.
I'll be Papa Smurf.
Okay, Dad.
Do we want to go against ghosts? Do we want to talk to ghosts?
No.
No, well, maybe if it's music, they're happy. Maybe they're not enemies. Maybe we can have a polite conversation and see what's up.
Caleb, can I roll a knowledge skill to know about ghosts?
Sure. Roll me intelligence. Nope, history.
Is it history or is it religion? It doesn't matter to me either way. They're the same roll. So I'm just curious as to which one it is. It's a 10, whichever one it is.
Tell me which one you think. I'll let you choose.
Normally, undead is religion. But it could be history for like these specific ghosts, for sure. But without having seen them, it'd be really difficult for me to identify who they might be.
And what
I have
you get?
A really high religion and history modifier.
Yeah, I've only got a 2.
I got a 8. +4.
So if there's, just from what you know, if there's ghosts there, then they had a strong presence here in life.
Mm.
And if there's multiple of them, maybe they're reenacting an important date.
Possibly. Do I think we can interact with them, though? And safely. I know we could interact with them, but can we do it safely?
Based on what you know, one of two things will happen. They will know you're there, or they won't know you're... Like, they will react to your presence, or they will continue on with the act. Whether they react positively or negatively could go either way.
Oh, it's like time travel. Either everything will change or nothing will change. Awesome. So I'll just relate to the group. It's like, from everything I know about ghosts, either they'll ignore us entirely or they'll try to kill us.
Do we have something large we could throw into the room and just kind of see what they do with that?
Well, there's me.
I was going to say we have a fairy.
You have me.
I mean, there were dead gnolls that are all over the place back there.
I'm not hauling a dead gnoll around. I'm sorry, it's not going to happen. That's Jessica saying.
Are we trying to get their attention?
We're trying not to get their attention. I don't want to fight ghosts today. Unless you all want to fight ghosts, in which case I'll wait here while you do that.
I just want to see what would happen if we disturbed whatever's going on. And if it's bad, we run. If it's good, we proceed forward.
Caleb.
No.
I have a plan. If I peek out that little door, how far away am I from the majority of the ghosties?
They were all around the door. Like the...
Okay.
The hatch doesn't come up in the middle of the room, but the ghosts seem to be everywhere in the room.
Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to peek out, and I have a 30-foot range, so 30 feet away from the door, I am going to use Druidcraft to make the sound of a squirrel, like running along the floor or wall, just to see if it gets their attention.
It does not seem to get their attention. They don't seem to do anything other than continue dancing to the music.
Okay, she's just going to slip out the door and start dancing.
The ghosts can, as you start dancing along with the ghosts, they don't seem to like look directly at you at all. They continue dancing with their partners.
Yeah. Nyssa is doing her best to mimic their dance, like she's not doing her striptease dance from the bars. She's trying to mimic their movements.
All right.
Okay, I'm gonna proceed behind her very quietly.
What are the other two of you doing?
I'm gonna sit back for a minute and wait for the sounds of blood curdling death, and then I may head up there.
Maybe.
So I'm gonna wait for a few rounds.
I'll go down there, but I'll keep a safe distance. Like there are down there like Cam and stuff, right?
You and Cam are presently underground right now, and you would go up a ladder into this room. You can choose to stay with Cam, or you can go up with the other two.
Yeah, so I'm going to go up if they're going to fight. I'll go up.
Alrighty, so Jess being left behind underground, as you come out, you start moving around and, you know, having to dodge around ghosts that are just dancing. When suddenly the music changes, everybody stops, throws their hands up, turns, and starts finding a new partner. A ghost woman grabs you, Milrim, by the hand and starts dancing with you.
I dance back.
You dance back, roll me performance.
I got a 9.
Dances you around the room. You start catching, you're trying to catch yourself and learn the dance moves to guide her around as you hear the hatch slam shut and a ghost grabs each of the other two of you. K2 and Nyssa, I need a performance check. Nyssa, you have advantage because you have been attempting to learn the dance.
Woohoo! And I need it. I got a 19.
10.
You are dancing around the room with this woman who was, by the looks of her, very beautiful whenever she was alive. As the two of you are dancing around the room, Nyssa, you are danced and let go in a spin at the staircase going up. As you continue dancing around, I would like another performance check from the two of you.
15.
Five.
Both of you are still dancing around the room. Jess, as you were sitting down there, suddenly the hatch above you slammed shut.
Oh, that's never a good sign. I listen patiently for the sounds of blood-curdling screams.
As you're sitting in the dark.
Yeah, I could just light something if it's necessary. You know what? That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to light my dagger.
Alrighty, now you can see. You don't hear the sounds of blood-curdling screams. However, the music goes back to normal after a few seconds.
Cool.
Back up top, I need another performance check to dance your way across the room.
Five again.
Ten.
Nissa, you're stuck in the middle of the room watching your two male compatriots be danced and spun around the room.
Every time I pass over that hatch, I'm going to be, Jess!
Just roll me perception.
Oh, nice. That's an 8.
So it takes you about 4 or 5 passes of the room before Jess suddenly hears what you think is someone calling your name. Do you go up and check it out?
Fine. I'll put my dagger away and loop the bow and climb up the ladder. Can I push open the thing?
Yeah, as you push open the thing, you are greeted by the sight of two of your party members dancing with ghosts, going around the room faster and faster, and Nissa sitting there by the staircase, not knowing what to do.
I am going to burn this image in my brain so that I can silent image it later for future amusement, because this is hilarious. Anyways, so I guess I'll push it open and climb up and just be like, you're all not dead. That's good to hear. How's the dance going? Again,
the music again changes and the hatch behind you slams shut as they all start looking for new partners, and a male ghost approaches you and extends his hand. Roll me a performance check.
I have to perform? I can't just back away?
It would. You don't seem to have much choice, as they are quite insistent.
Alrighty then. 16.
16, as you dance around the room, I'd like a performance check from the other two of you as well.
Nice, 18 that time.
5.
As you dance around the room, Jess, you pick up on the dance pretty quickly and dance your way into the center of the room as Nilrim joins you, his legs tired from the dance, but otherwise in one piece. K2 goes around another time.
Can I,
I swear to God!
Can I do a perception just to see if there's, like, another exit to this room, like a window or a door or anything like that?
At the moment, you look around and there's actually no entrance on the main floor going out. There's either up or back down the hatch.
Okay, then I will turn to K2 as he's close to me and say, next round, we're partners. Stay close.
Smart.
Alrighty. As the music changes in another 30 or so seconds, Jess, you make your way very quickly to K2 and start. I would like both of you to roll me a performance check, and I'll average them.
19.
Oh, good, that counteracts my 9. Roll the 4, people. Roll the 4. I actually have a really good performance.
I think 14 is the average there.
Yes, 14 would be the average.
Sorry, I was having trouble with 9 and 19.
All right, if I could explain why I'm so low, that would be awesome. Would you mind if I do that?
Sure.
Okay, so what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to force us to the outer edge of the dancing, like near a wall or something like that, so we can stop. That's the plan. That's part of the reason why I wanted him to be there. I also want to have a chat with him while we're doing that, so I'm obviously distracted.
All right, so you guys are making your way further away from the staircase.
The ladder?
There is the ladder that is closer to the edge. The staircase going up is in the middle.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Okay, so I'm gonna K2, can you break through walls pretty easily? Like wooden ones, like these ones?
These are stone walls.
They're stone? Oh man, that's annoying. Do we have anything wooden in here that we could break through?
Not really.
No? Okay, so these guys are trapped in here, and the only way out is the staircase.
Or the hatch.
All right, I say we bolt for the staircase on the next switch. Otherwise, we'll be trapped here forever. Or until we find another route out. Who's with me?
Well, the other two are on the steps, right?
Yeah, Nis is at the staircase.
Yeah, because I don't think Nissa's going to have a problem getting away from these guys.
Maybe.
The rest of us would be able. You can fly.
Yeah, but and you're small. Might be able to as well.
They haven't yet. But that is a true statement. Anyways, that's what I say. I say on the next stoppage, we bolt for the stairs and run up as quick as we can.
All right. As you wait for the next change in music, I'd like both of you to roll me athletics.
Damn straight. No, this is going to be painful.
Oh,
18, baby.
All right, the both of you manage to, at a dead run as you come, and you see ghosts like coming towards you to dance, and you dodge around them quickly before they can grab you in their icy grip. You get to the staircase and start working your way up the stairs, blowing past the other two.
I'm glad that worked out well.
Let's go, let's go, let's go.
We're leaving.
All right.
Thank God, I'm not taking any armor check penalties to that, because that would have sucked.
As you guys walk up the stairs, you open a wooden door. And as the door opens and you step inside, you look around, and on the one side of the room is a desk with a bunch of paper scattered around it and a dusty chair sitting beside it. Around the room are a couple barrels, and probably the most prominent part of the room that you would notice first is the three-quarters assembled person laying on an operating table in the center of the room.
Say what?
Like, assembled as in, like, a kid. Sewn together?
Yes.
Frankenstein. Awesome.
As you move in to get a better look at the assembled person, you notice that as you come up on the body, and it's missing its right hand, left foot, and the skull is still open and doesn't have a brain. Then suddenly, slam, the door closes.
I pull out my lighted dagger.
Yeah, I think that is a good place to stop, as you realize that you are stuck having to figure out which of the... As you look inside of the barrels, you see that one barrel is full of feet. The other one is full of brains, and the last one full of hands. They have these strange little number tags on them.
Question. Were any of the ghosts downstairs missing hands, feet, or looked like their heads had been opened?
Nope.
Okay.
They all looked like they were having a grand old time.
Okay.
Let's sigh.